Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Well, welcome. We're so glad you're here. And nope, I'm not Pastor John. I know you figured that out. And he's in New York today. They've been there this weekend. He's been there this weekend with Ryan. And he's helping him find a church as he gets ready to go to college. How many of you know finding a good church is important? Amen. So he's there helping him find a good church as he gets ready to go to school there. And so that's where he is. He'll be back next weekend. And we're going to continue the series. We're going to continue to talk about hearing God and hearing God's voice. We're going to do that today. And then he will also continue that when he gets back next week, all right? And so I encourage you to be here for that. Now, Friday was our anniversary. It was my anniversary. We celebrated 33 years. And they said it wouldn't last, right? And we actually really had people say it wouldn't last, all right? And I don't have time to tell that story. But we celebrated 33 years, and I was looking through some old pictures and stuff, and ran across one. And, of course, this was Friday. Did they put it up? I put it on my Facebook because it was Friday, and I know there's this thing called Throwback Thursdays, but this is Friday. So I was like, Rachel, man, can I put this up? And she said, well, you could just, there's also Flashback Friday. So I said, we're flashing back, baby. All right, so you can see here, this is us in Georgia. This is about 1989, 1990, and you can see there on the side there, you've got Rocky, you've got, No, really, you got John Travolta or Saturday Night Fever. And you can see the Newsos there. And that's actually Sean I'm holding there. So obviously that's a few years ago and stuff. But we're pastoring in Georgia at the time. And the Newsos, they would pull up in their van and they would minister at our church and stuff. That's actually how we got to know them through the years, was as we were pastoring there. And they'd come and speak at our church and stuff like that. So I just had to put that up there just because he's not here and I can harass him and everything else. All right. Well, we're going to talk about hearing God's voice, hearing God today. And I encourage you, you know, as I share a few things, I'm going to share four things, just four simple things. And they are simple, but just four simple things. Just take the time to jot those things down. Any scriptures that may really stand out to you, take the time to jot those things down, because God can use those things to really help you and to really equip you. All right. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. And again, because they're simple things. How many of you know the world in which we live in isn't exactly Christian friendly? I don't know if you've figured that out or not, but not exactly Christian friendly, okay? The culture in which we live in is pretty much gone the way of lots of cultures, and it's very much so, it's antagonistic in some places. Now, some places it's just neutral, but the way the culture years and years ago, especially like when I was young and stuff, I mean, it's changed so much that back in those days, the culture actually affirmed marriage. It would reaffirm, even though people weren't even Christians, it would still reaffirm basic biblical principles. Isn't that true? Especially if you're a little older, you know that used to be the case. All right, and that is not the case anymore at all. So we live, in a sense, in a post-Christian society today, as we have shifted very dramatically away from that. Now, that's okay, because you know what? I can still follow God in the midst of a pagan society. Because believe it or not, the entire Bible basically was written by people and to people that lived and were surrounded by pagan societies. Did you know that? And so it's all about us navigating life in the midst of things where the world itself doesn't necessarily reinforce what's going on in your life. Doesn't reinforce you raising your kids the way you feel like God's called you and the Bible's called you to raise your kids. Doesn't reinforce that at all. Does it reinforce your marriage? You'll be talking to people and they'll say, just leave. Just punt. Get rid of it. We'll do this, do that, whatever. Because there's nothing there that reinforces, again, because culturally it's shifted so much. So I want to give you just four quick little keys that it can help you when it comes to hearing God every day as you navigate this culture. Because how many of you know you do have to navigate it? You actually don't live in this building. Right? So you're going to go outside these doors and you're going to go to work tomorrow. Woo, joy that is. You're going to work, aren't you? And how many of you know, everybody doesn't get up and start singing "It Is Well With My Soul" every morning. True? And you're surrounded by people that you would think They're a part of that pagan culture. They don't reaffirm anything. You have to navigate that. Your kids get exposed to things. And it's sad. It breaks your heart. But at younger and younger ages, kids get exposed to all kinds of stupidity. Isn't that true? And as a parent, our job is to help them navigate that. Our job is to help teach and to train them so that they, in turn, will be able to navigate the culture that they're exposed to as they continue in their lives. You know what? We can try as we want to shelter them, but it doesn't matter where your kids go to school. It doesn't matter if they're a Christian school, private school, homeschooled, whatever. You've tied them to their chairs, don't want them out of your house ever. It doesn't matter any of those things, okay? Because they do get exposed to the world around them. And our job is to help them navigate it. And I know you need to be able to hear from God. Isn't that true? Because you don't have all the answers. I don't know about you, but I know I do not have all the answers that come up. Because sometimes kids will walk in and they'll go, this happened. And you go, really? And you're unsure what to say. You don't know how to respond. You don't know what you should tell them. And again, the culture isn't going to help you. Because if you're looking to the world, if you're looking to ungodly advice, if you're looking to the world's culture, the cultural system of today, if you're looking to it for answers, it's going to mess you up. Because there's nothing in it that's going to reaffirm your desire to follow God and to please God. So we're going to talk about hearing God every day and just give you four quick things. And the first thing, again, they're simple. All right, the first thing is you need to expect God. As a believer, as a child of God, you should expect God to speak to you. You should actually expect Him. It amazes me how many Christians don't really expect God to be involved in their life. Now, they'll come to church and they'll participate in church, but when they leave church and they do get up tomorrow morning to carry around their lives, to go about their lives, they actually really don't approach it from the mindset, God's involved in my life. They just kind of check that at the door when they leave. It amazes me. You know what? God really wants to be involved in your life. And I'm not talking about in some strange, eerie way where you're just weird. I'm talking about in everyday life where God can direct you, where God can show you things, where God can warn you about things, can bring things to your attention and say, hey, you know what? You need to actually talk to your kids about this. Where you can be watching something on TV. Again, they can bring something home from school, and especially as they get older and they begin to go off into college age and stuff like this. Man, so many kids go off to college. And there's some people in those settings, I mean, they make it their mission to try to corrupt people, okay? And I'm all for higher education. I got some somewhere, all right? Okay? But at the same time, man, I tell you what, it can mess people up because there's people there and they have ulterior motives to try to challenge people and to provoke people. And they're not doing it in an educational way. It's a devious way, all right? Now, I know that's the exception, generally speaking, but man, lots of places your kids can get exposed to things. You get exposed to things at work. Things come up. You get asked about things or challenged about something, or you're put in a position where maybe you feel like you have to compromise something or whatever, and you need to be able to hear God's voice, and God can give you wisdom and insight on how to navigate it. So you should expect that to happen. Look at Romans. Let me read this scripture to you. You'll see it on the screen there, Romans 8, 15 and 16. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father, Daddy. We call Him Daddy. For His Spirit joins or bears witness with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. To affirm that we are God's children. If you're a child of God today, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, the Spirit of God lives within you. I could read numerous other scriptures that say that, okay? But the Spirit of God does live within you. And it says He bears witness with our hearts that we are children of God. How many of you this morning, how many of you know without any doubt whatsoever, if somebody put a gun to your head, you know without any doubt, it's settled in your heart, you know you're going to heaven. How do you know that? You've seen Jesus. He walked into your room. Have you seen Him? You know, you ever had people challenge you about stuff like that? Well, have you seen God? You can't see God. You can't do this. You just take this. People wrote that book. They could all made it up. Blah, 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 blah. All the kinds. You hadn't seen God. How do you know that? You know it right in here, don't you? And it's a settled fact for you. True? It's something that you've got firm within you. People can't take that from you. No matter what comes against you, that can't be taken from you. That's what that scripture's telling you. And I should expect that in every area of my life. I can have a reaffirmation. I can have an affirming by God's Spirit within my heart that He can give me insight, give me wisdom, give me direction. Should I take that job? Should I go here? Should I be involved in this? What about this? What about this? The kids have said this. How do I help them do this? That the Spirit of God can affirm within my heart and give me wisdom and give me insight on how to navigate that. I should expect that. Again, every day you should expect that. How do I do that? You know what? It's real simple. I get up in the morning and you go, Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that I am your child. The Spirit of God lives within me. And today I expect you to guide, direct, and establish my steps. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How long did that take? About 20 seconds, right? Maybe. I'm not real good with that feel thing like that, but didn't take very long. And that's not very hard. Everybody in this room can do that. Everybody in this room, you can do that. You can do that while you're driving your car. You can do it, whatever. However you stumble through the mornings, you can do that, all right? And I encourage you, expect God to be involved in your life. Expect Him to speak to you. Expect Him to give you the wisdom and the insight that you need. Next thing is I need to daily decide to put on the new man. I started to just put the one that's in parentheses up there, and that is just die every day. Because literally, that's some of the phraseology that's used in the Bible, is I need to choose to die every day. What do I mean by that? Let me give you a few scriptures here that explains it, all right? But I need to decide to die every day, okay? Romans 8, 1 and 2. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus because you belong to Him. The power of the life-giving Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Now, that's past tense in there. It says this power, the Spirit of God, the Spirit has freed you, that's past tense, from the power of sin. Did you know as a child of God, you've been made free from sin? Do you know that its power or its hold over you has been completely taken away from your life? Okay, now we can still choose to sin, but the power of it has been completely removed in my life. Let me give you another scripture, Romans 8, dropping down to 12 through 14. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. Let me give you another scripture. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3. Since you have been raised to this new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden in Christ. Now, dropping down just a few verses, it says, put to death, therefore. Therefore, since you are in Christ, and your life is now hid in Him, you need to put these things to death. And I didn't take the time to put the whole scripture in there. I encourage you to read it sometime. And then it says in verse 12, it says you put on then. So it tells you to put off some stuff, to put to death some stuff, and then it tells you to put on some other stuff. You can see the same thing in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. You can see the exact same things relayed. And in other places of Scripture, where it talks about you putting off the old and putting on the new. If I'm going to hear God's voice and I'm going to have God's voice and I'm going to be led by God every day in my life, I'm going to have to decide to put some stuff off and to put some other stuff on. This is tied to my growth spiritually. That's why it's important that you come to church. It's important that you go to Growth Track. It's important that you get involved in a small group, that you continue to grow spiritually. Why is that? Because I want to get in a position where I am able to put off the things I need to put off and to put on the things I need to put on. What does that mean? It means when the Bible tells me that I should be walking in love. In fact, one of the things it tells you to put on, it talks about kindness, gentleness, it talks about love. I need to put those things on. And it's the context of those words that are used, it's like you putting on clothes. It's like you taking off clothes and putting on them. So by the Spirit of God, and the good thing is God actually helps you. You can't do it on your own anyway, right? You can't do it on your own, okay? So we can't do it on our own, but the Spirit of God working within us actually enables us and gives us the power and the ability to lay some of those things aside. Now, I don't know what those things are. Now, again, there's lots of things listed there, and I encourage you to go back and to read that there in Colossians chapter 3. Now, there's things we need to put off, and there's things we need to put on. If I'll do that, though, it'll help me when it comes to me hearing the voice of God. Why is that? Because I'll continue to grow spiritually. I'll continue to mature spiritually where I'm even more sensitive. And it's by exercise. How many of you know exercise changes things? Right? It does. I know we all love it. It was a New Year's resolution. You ain't done nothing since. I know that. But it does. Anything you use, it does work, right? It changes. It begins to do things. How many of you know if I don't use certain things, if you don't crank your car for a year, it's not cranking, right? So if I use it and I begin to use these things, it helps me grow more and more efficient at it. And it kind of ties into the next thing, and that is I need to maintain and to guard my heart. And again, I told you they were simple, so I'm going to expect God to speak to me. I'm going to die every day. I'm going to choose to die every day. I'm going to choose to put stuff off that I need to put stuff away. And I'm going to choose to walk in the things and to put on the things I need to put on. And then I'm going to guard or maintain my heart. This is extremely important. Scripture from Proverbs. It's a familiar scripture for some of you. Proverbs chapter 4, it says, and I put it up in the two translations. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. Everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart above all else because it determines the course of your life. And this will lead us into the last one, which is about honoring God's word. But it's important. I have to guard my heart. Did you know no one can guard your heart but you? God won't even guard your heart. Did you know that? God himself can't force you to do that. It's a choice that we all make. So every day, again, tied to the putting off and to the putting on, every day you make choices about the influences and the things that you allow to impact you as a person. The things you hear, the things you see, conversations you choose to be a part of or choose not to be a part of, things you choose to participate in or not participate in, places you choose to go, places you choose not to go, all those things impact my heart. All of it. And again, we live in a culture where it's not going to be very warm and fuzzy to my heart. Isn't that true? It's not going to be real warm and fuzzy because, again, if you watch the news, which I try not to watch very much news. I try to kind of keep up with the general things that's going on. But if I watch the news too much, I get really upset. I don't do real good with that, all right? So I just don't, okay? I can read, and then I don't have to listen to people spouting stupidity, right? I don't have to hear things. And unfortunately, because of the culture we live in, it's infiltrating in all kinds of different areas. Even some wonderful sports networks that I love and adore have for years and years watched certain programs, harassed my kids about it being the best hour of television. I find myself, I can't watch that anymore. Why? Because they just tick me off. Because they've chosen to push certain things and all this other kind of stuff. You know what? So what do? I choose. I make a choice. So you know what? I love it, I enjoy it, but I'm not gonna do that. I can't participate in that. Why? Because it can impact your heart. How many of you know you walked off ticked around all ticked off? I'll start over. If you walk around ticked off every day, you're not gonna be very warm and fuzzy to be around. Isn't that true? Your own family's not gonna want to be around you. Why? Because you're just mad all the time. Okay? And sometimes the things that we hear, the things that we expose ourselves to, they can generate that in us. And again, that's up to me. I control those influences in my life. I control the things I'm allowing, the things I'm seeing. And that all is tied to guard my heart. Why is that so important? Because everything I do flows out of it. Even hearing the voice of God flows out of it. Even Him having the ability to speak to me flows out of it. Him having the ability to prompt me to do things, say things, minister to a certain way or to share something with somebody. And you may be working next to somebody in the cubicle that's right next to you. You may not know hardly anything about them. And you get to work one day and you know, and just in your heart, you just know, man, something's wrong. And you have the opportunity just simply to encourage them. I'm not saying you get your Bible out and stand on your desk and start shouting and all this other stuff. As a normal human being, you encourage them. And you know what? In general terms, you know what I found out? Lots of people, in fact, most people, in a general way, if you just encourage them and you know they're struggling, and man, they're struggling, and you can just simply say, can I just pray for you? Did you know almost without exception, people say yes? And you just pray a nice prayer, and you just comfort them and encourage them. You know what you just did? You sowed some seed. and you follow the prompting of your heart, and you don't know what fruit will be born as a result of that, do you? You don't know the next time something comes up, that person walks right into the office and walks straight to you and says, I need some help because my life is messed up. And there you are. You know what that's called? That's called being salt and light in a dark world. That's not being strange. Again, sometimes as Christians, we project so many things. And when it talks about witnessing, you know, things like, oh, we all need to be a witness and stuff like this. And we'll project things on it. And we think that's weird. The best witness you can be is being normal in your everyday life and allowing God to speak to you and to minister to you and you being a blessing to the people that are around you. That's the best thing you can do. But I want to maintain my heart so I can be sensitive to those things. So I can hear those things. Again, we're talking about hearing the voice of God every day. That every day I can follow the promptings of my heart. Every day I can follow those things that God directs me and shows me and reveals to me. So I'm going to expect it. I'm going to die every day. I'm going to choose to put stuff off I need to put off, put on things I need to put on. And I'm going to maintain and govern and guard my heart. And then the last thing is I'm going to honor God's word. I'm going to honor God's story. I skipped one thing. Mark chapter 4, you'll see it there. And I didn't put the whole passage of scripture, but again, it's tied to guarding your heart. And I kind of alluded to it, and that is the things I allow into my heart, it does produce a harvest. And if you read the parable or you read the teaching that Jesus did there in Mark chapter 4, it equates the word of God to seed and your heart to being like soil. And it, how many of you know soil produces? If you put seed in it, it produces. It grows all its own. In fact, if you read on in Mark chapter 4, it actually uses that. Jesus used that analogy further down past this section of scripture. He used that analogy. The seed, it bears fruit all by itself. The soil produces fruit all by itself. You don't even know how it works. Remember as a kid, you go to class. Remember the awesome day? And I love these days as kids. You know, your kid did have to bring a styrofoam, or they got a styrofoam cup, put dirt in it, a seed in there, and they got to see their little plant grow. Now, of course, they killed it later, but they got to see that thing grow. That's what it's talking about. Again, guarding my heart. Why? Because stuff goes in there, and it is going to produce a fruit. It's not an optional thing. It is going to produce fruit one way or another. It's producing good stuff or it's producing bad stuff. And there's other scriptures we could go to, but I don't have time. But it's important for me to guard my heart because I want to hear God's voice every day. I want to be in a position where he can guide me, prompt me about something. And it can be simple things. It can be things that are much more deep about taking jobs, moving, dealing with issues with your kids, all kinds of things. I want to be sensitive to that. And then the last thing is honoring God's word. I want to make sure I honor God's word in my life. Honor it. What do we mean by that? Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. Acts 17, verse 11, it says, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these were so. And this is in the Paul's ministry, and he was in a place called Berea, and he's speaking to Jews at this particular time. And these Jews had just before this had been Thessalonica, that's what it's referred to, and they rejected him, pushed him aside, etc. But the Berean Jews began to examine the scripture to see if those things were so. So their attitude about the word that they heard, and again, this would have been, basically it would have been what we have as our Old Testament in general terms, but they begin to search those things to see if this guy telling us the truth? Is what he say, is it accurate? Is what about this whole Jesus thing and this Messiah and all this other kind of stuff? And they begin to search those things to see if they were true. And I encourage you, we need to have the same attitude. Luke chapter 11, verse 28, just before this scripture, someone in a crowd had cried out, Blessed is the womb of the lady that gave you birth, basically, and I just butchered that scripture, all right? But anyway, verse 28 is Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. And the last scripture is Matthew chapter 7, and it's a familiar story that Jesus told about building your house on the rock or building your house on the sand, but I put it in the Message translation. Let me read it to you. It says these, and again, the Message Bible, it's more of a, I said translation. It's really a paraphrase, all right? And it was done by years ago, a minister, he was a pastor, actually, and he began to translate scripture for his congregation to help them understand it better, and eventually he put together the Message Bible. So these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. It collapsed like a house of cards. And again, you may be used to hearing that story in like NIV or King James or something like that, but you get the message there. And that is that one person hears the word. They're not just simply casual words. God's word is not just simply casual phrases that we want to stick on our refrigerator or put in posters on our wall or stuff. The idea here is that I actually do work these into my life. And that's what it means to honor God's word. To me, honor God's word means I actually do it. I actually obey, which is, I know it is a four-letter word, but I mean, for a lot of people, it's a four-letter word. Oh, this whole obey thing, of course, you know, blah, blah. Well, believe it or not, obedience is actually a good thing. It's actually a good thing. It's not hard. It's a good thing. Because through that obedience, you know what I'm doing? I'm honoring God's word. And again, it's all tied to the same thing. It's tied to me guarding my heart. It's tied to me being able to hear the voice of God, to be able to hear his promptings and stuff. So if I'll honor him, what does it mean by that? It means when it tells me to walk in love, I actually walk in love. When it tells me to forgive, I actually forgive. When it tells me to guard the words of my mouth and to pay attention to what's coming out of my mouth, I actually pay attention to what's coming out of my mouth. When it tells me to put aside anger, I actually put aside anger. And if I mess that up, you know what I do? I go, time out, stupid's coming out of me like crazy. I just need to stop right now. You know what? Have you ever called a timeout? I've been in the middle of stuff before, so I need to call timeout. You know why? Because I'm not doing so well right now. I need to just kind of back up. I'll be back in a minute. If you haven't done that, you probably needed to, at least once. That's what it means by honoring God's word. You know why? Because stuff comes out. I mean, you know, you've said things before, and as they come out, you recognize, oh my goodness, that is the stupidest thing I've ever said in my life. Or you know, rather than that being something that's going to create peace and harmony, you know you just brought gasoline to a fire. Isn't that true? Now, you know, you say those things, sometimes you go, oh, man, sorry about that. I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. Honoring God's word means I actually do those things. It means I actually choose to walk in love. I choose to forgive people. I choose. No one can do that but you. No one forces you to do that. God himself doesn't even force you to do that. So all of these things are tied to, again, we're talking about hearing God's voice in our everyday life and in the culture in which we live in. As we navigate life, because again, cultural things come, influences come, voices come, all kinds of stuff comes in, all kinds of things. Your kids get exposed to things. You get exposed to things every single day. You get exposed to things. And if you're not careful, those things will deteriorate your heart. They'll impact your ability to hear God's voice. When God wants to speak to you every day, he actually wants to help you raise your children. He wants you, now he won't do it for you, okay? He's not like the grandparents where you can just drop the kids off and go, woo! But he wants to help you raise your children, to give you wisdom that when they come home and they say, hey, this came up in class today, or I heard this student talking about this, or this teacher said this, or this came up, or whatever, and this came up, and I'm not sure what to do. That, and you go, man, I don't know what to do. But I tell you what, I know somebody who does know what to do. And that's my Heavenly Father, the source of all wisdom. And so you know what? We're going to pray, and God's going to give us the ability. God's going to give us the wisdom to be able to navigate that. You know, God will do that for you. For you. I should expect that in my life. I need to choose to die, to put off the things I need to put off. I need to choose to die every day. So I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to do you. I'm going to follow and do life the way you want me to do life, to navigate life according to your plan and your purpose. I'm going to choose to die every day. I'm going to maintain and govern my heart. I'm going to pay attention to the influence I'm allowing there, and I'm going to honor God's word. Very simply about honoring God's word, and I encourage you, because you know what? Every one of you in here can have a deep, meaningful relationship with the word of God. But I'll tell you, for most Christians, that's actually a struggle. If you talk to people and you get people to be honest, you know, and they really struggle reading the Bible. And because it's like, man, I don't get anything out of it. It's just kind of dry and boring and things like this. I encourage you. A lot of times we make it kind of hard. And rather than relaxing and recognizing, this is my Heavenly Father I'm talking about. And this is His Word that I'm going to read. And He actually wants me to understand it. He actually wants me to be able to read it and where it begins to minister life to me. Because the Word of God will minister life to you. It'll bring wisdom into your life, all kinds of things. So really simple. A simple way to do it is, again, religion and all kinds of unbiblical things can kick into your head. And sometimes even church sometimes can even work against you. Because, you know, you'll come to church and you'll hear things. And sometimes you hear people talking about, oh, yeah, man, I read an hour a day. Or I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and do this. And all of a sudden you're going to like, oh, my goodness. And we start thinking that if it's spiritual, it has to be painful. Right? If it's anything connected to being spirit, it's got to be painful. It's got to hurt. All right? You know what? You may not be a morning person. For you, the crack of noon is morning. Do you understand? That's okay. God actually knows you. He does know you. He knows your personality, your makeup. You may be a night owl. Okay? Again, you may be that crack of noon person, and you're up at, you wake up at 10 o'clock at night, and you're just like, who else wants to stay up all night? Man, I remember years ago, and you know, the kids were younger, and of course, mom, home with 3 kids, all this other kind of stuff. And for whatever reason, the kids, they've all passed out, you know, because kids don't go to sleep, they pass out, okay? So they've all passed out, and Dana's like, man, the kids are in bed early, this is awesome. Man, let's just do what we used to do, man. Let's rent a movie, and this is back when there were the Blockbusters and all those. Let's rent a movie and stay up late and watch a movie and blah, blah, blah. She was asleep at 9. Passed out. We never made it to the movie, all right? So who knows what your makeup is, but God does know what your makeup is. You may be a morning person, night person, midday person. Who cares? It really doesn't matter, all right? Don't make it hard. God wants you to understand His Word. Just a couple little tips. Easy places to start. Psalms and Proverbs. Very easy to read. Get a Bible translation that you can understand. Probably not, unless you speak Elizabethan English, it's probably not a King James Bible, okay? And no matter what some people may try to tell you, Paul and all those guys, Jesus did not speak King James English, okay? So get a translation that you can understand, all right? If you need help with that, you can ask one of the prayer partners. All kinds of people around here can help you with a translation that's easy to read, that you can follow. But start in Psalms and Proverbs. You want to know more about Jesus' life? Start with the Gospel of John. It's very easy to read. Start with the Gospel of John. It'll walk you all through Jesus' life. Lots of different things in there that will help you immensely. You want to learn more about who you are in Christ and what Jesus did for you by His death, burial, and resurrection, by His work on the cross? You want to learn more about that? Start in the book of Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Years ago, I had somebody tell me this way, and I never forgot it. Easy way to remember those books, General Electric Power Company. General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's stuck right up there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. General Electric Power Company. Start there. They're short books. They're easy to read. And they're packed full of things about who you are in Christ. What Jesus has done for you. And what that does, that foundation of the Word of God, allows God to use that. Because again, we're talking about Him speaking to you tomorrow. We're talking about Him speaking to you this afternoon. We're talking about Him giving you wisdom tonight as you need it, tomorrow as you need it, the next day as you need it. And if you'll honor God's Word, it is amazing the processes that sets in motion, that will help you so much. So don't make it hard. Don't set off, if you're not reading an hour a day, don't set off to read an hour a day tomorrow because you're not going to do it. Okay, you might make it a day, you might make it 2 days, and then you'll be gone. Start 5 minutes. Start a couple minutes. But you take the time to honor God's Word. It is amazing what will set in motion in your life. All right, last time we go through it. Expect God to speak to me. I expect Him to speak to me. As His child, I expect Him to speak to me every day. I expect Him to give me wisdom. I expect Him to give me insight. I expect Him to give me direction when it comes to my kids and my navigating life, marriage, work, all these. I expect that in my life. I choose every day to die. I choose to put stuff off and to put things on. I choose to do that every day. I choose to maintain my heart, to pay attention to the influences that I'm allowing in there. And I choose to honor God's Word in my life, to maintain a relationship with the Lord. You do those things, you know what you do? You'll hear God every day. He'll speak to you every day. In the midst of the crazy culture in which we live in, you'll hear God every day. He'll speak to you and he'll show you things. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for every person in here, each person in here. Thank you, dear God, that your heart's desire, your overwhelming desire is to speak to us clearly, plainly, each and every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. And Father, I thank you that as we, dear Father, respond to you and respond to your words, you are always faithful. You never, ever, ever hide things from us. Never, ever, ever, Father, make it hard. You very plainly speak to us in very clear ways. And I thank you, dear God, for each person here, that we will be led by your Spirit. We'll hear your voice. You'll give us the wisdom and the insight that we need each and every day in Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. You might be in here, you've heard us talking about God being active and alive in your life and God wanting to speak to you and minister to you. And you're like, well, that's awesome. But you know what? I don't think God wants to speak to me because I'm not sure where I stand in my relationship with him. I'm not sure about where I am in my relationship with him at all. Maybe you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe you've never opened up your life and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. Maybe you've never asked him to do that, to be your Savior and to be your Lord. Either way, you need to understand God loves you. Jesus loves you. He came to this earth. He died for you, gave his life for you. He knew you'd be sitting in this room today. He knew you'd be in that chair today. He knew you'd be here. And I encourage you, you know what? This is not hard either. Don't leave without knowing where you stand with the living God. There's no reason for you to do that. I encourage you today, before you go, you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you've been redeemed and that you're on your way to heaven. Please don't leave. If you are unsure of that, please don't leave without knowing. It's a very simple process. I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm not gonna have you stand. I'm not gonna have you come forward. I'm not gonna have you do anything to single you out whatsoever, except simply raise your hand here in just a moment. But all we're going to do is we're going to pray right there where you're seated. In fact, the whole church, everybody in here will pray that prayer out loud together with you. And I encourage you, please don't leave today unsure about your relationship with God. If you'd say, Pastor Steve, that's me. I really am. I'm unsure, or I've never done it. I know I've never done it. And I know I need Jesus. Just very quickly, raise your hand right where you're seated and I'll pray for it. Thank you so much. I see your hand. Who else wants to join these? Give me a chance to see you. Hold up long enough. Thank you so much. I see your hand. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. I see your hand there. Anybody else? Thank you so much. I see your hand. You can put it back down. Who else wants to join these that raised their hands? Anybody else? Thank you, sir. I see your hand right there. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Don't leave. I encourage you. Last time. Last time. Maybe you've chickened out so far. I encourage you. Don't leave without knowing. Thank you so much. I see your hand over there. Anybody else real quick? Thank you so much. Anybody else want to join these? Last time to look. Thank you. I see your hand right there. Put it back down. All right, let's all pray with these that raised their hand. Let's all say this. If you raised your hand, you pray this out of your mouth where you hear it with your own ears. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that Jesus Christ came to this earth, was crucified, dead and buried, was raised from the dead, for me. Lord Jesus, I open up my heart. I open up the door of my life and I invite you in. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for forgiving me, and cleansing me of all my sins. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and as my Lord. I thank you that I am heaven bound. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.